The Outlet. The talk of Queenstown.
Welcome to The Outlet. I'm your host, Brent Harbour. In this podcast, I catch up with QLDC Mayor Glyn Lewis. We discuss financial challenges facing the council, including the need to reassess spending in light of Three Waters reforms. We reflect on recent Project Manawa hearings and look ahead as Glyn outlines his focus for the next few months.
For the latest local news, sport, information and entertainment, download the Queenstown app. This is The Outlet.
G'day, Glyn. Welcome to The Outlet podcast.
Good afternoon, Brent. How are you today?
Very good, thank you. For you, I know 2024 has started off at 100 k's an hour. Are you ready for a holiday yet?
Oh, geez, I just had one, but yeah, I think another holiday in the near future might be on my cards. But let's see, we'll just get through the first couple of months first, eh?
Good idea. It's been a bit of a difficult month for the council financially, with the $7.65 million overspend on the downtown arterial route, the need to reintroduce Three Waters spending to the 10-year plan. I mean, that is a problem for councils across the country. How do you keep rates down? And what projects do you have to revisit, Glyn?
Yeah, so you're correct, Three Waters back into the long-term plan, and it does affect our budget, and it's a issue, yes, every council across the country is grappling with. We're attacking it in different ways, and I know this council's already started talking with Otago and Southland councils and how we can actually deal with rates, and that may give some fruition on how we could probably manage the growth in rates with Three Waters in the next 5 to 6 years. It's still my view that it would be better for us if councils from Canterbury were also involved. That would certainly give us economies of scale while still retaining control. But we've got debt issues with regards to Three Waters, and when you look at the smaller councils around us, they've indicated that they don't want to be taking on our debt, so which is fair enough too. With regards to projects you have to revisit, it's not regarding revisiting them, it's probably rescheduling them within the 10 years to obviously keep within our debt ceiling, but also trying to manage a rate increase that's what we feel is manageable for the community. And look, there are some pretty confronting numbers we're seeing. When we've got fixed costs with regards to depreciation of assets, but then the valuation of assets has gone up, insurance has gone up, and obviously we all know about interest rates. Those are fixed costs that are directly covered by rates, and they've gone up quite substantially in the last 18 months. So yeah, it's tough. It's just a matter of rescheduling projects across the 10 years. And look, some projects you just miss out. They just move out of the 10 years. And unfortunately, and it happens every 3 years when you do a long-term plan, it's usually the sports and rec and the arts and culture stuff, and it gets quite frustrating. But for some areas, it's just got to a point where we actually have to invest in those recreational assets, because it's got to a point where our growth has got so much. We've got a high influx of families, young kids. So it's probably where, my personal view, we'll probably just have to draw the line and say, look, we've got to do this. We just can't keep chicken McKean down the road.
Now, you read out a letter from Councillor Craig Ferguson at the last council meeting outlining the impact of the arterial road construction project on residents and businesses. So do you have concerns as the focus moves on to the BP roundabout revamp?
Yes, I did read that letter out, and I've got to actually acknowledge Councillor Ferg. I think he visited 3 times, and I think Councillor Bartlett went with them on 1 occasion. Look, I've discussed this with Ferg on numerous occasions. He pretty much told me how tough the affected residents were, and I think it was very important to acknowledge that and make their views heard. And they're quite emotional, and I think talking with Ferg, he was quite emotional about it as well. With regards to the BP roundabout, that has gone to the NZTA board, and I think they've approved a budget increase. I think it's now with the Minister for Transport, so Minister Brown, to whether he decides whether we get an increase in budget for it. It's an NZTA-owned project, so they will own it, not QLDC, but it will be run under the Alliance. Concerns about the BP roundabout? Look, this work has to be done. I think it's been sitting around for the last 7 to 8 years where that intersection is not meeting the needs of the traveller. I think I've been told it's one of the busiest intersections in the South Island. 30,000 vehicles per day go through that intersection. The increase in traffic post-COVID has grown a lot faster than any prediction from NZTA. So, look, it has to happen at some stage. It's up to NZTA and the Alliance to manage that, and hopefully they'll learn a few lessons about the, let's say, how to manage the stakeholders and the businesses and the residents around it.
Now, there were Project Manawa hearings last week. So what did you take from those and former Councillor Kath Gilmore's call to sell the Eastern Block of land and move council offices out to Frankton?
Yes, so the hearings were heard. I just want to thank the hearings panel. So that was Lyle Cox, Melissa White and Berg again. Look, obviously, if you watch it online, there's some pretty strong views. I think what I can take out of it, with the ones that have strong views about whether it's in the CBD or elsewhere, I was going to look at the bright side or the optimistic view, is there was a recognition that, hey, we do actually need one office. And I think it's about where, and it's also about how, and how that's delivered. With regards to the former councillor, I did have to read the article and bone up on it. Yeah, that spot behind the community hub, probably from a planning point of view, would be quite difficult. That's under a designation. Footprint, I think, limited to 450 square metres. We're looking at a 3,000, let's say, 600 square metre building. So let's say three stories or four stories. So that's 900 square metres. So it probably wouldn't fit. And it's got a height limit of 8 metres, so we can't really go above that. So, yeah, if we want to put it in Frankton, it's probably not the place to put it. And also, that lands for recreational use. When we go back to that very first question, we're short on recreational land. So, again, look, all these balls are up in the air. It's what I do appreciate is members of the public actually, instead of just saying no, don't build it and end the conversation there, I really do appreciate people actually coming up with other ideas.
Now, you took the decision at the last meeting to open up behind closed doors council workshops to the public and media. So take me through that decision and the possible pros and cons, Glenn.
Pros and cons. Look, this came about by the Ombudsman's report coming the end of last year, where he did a bit of an investigation over seven councils across New Zealand. QLDC was not one of them, but he came to the conclusion that we weren't doing anything wrong, but for openness and transparency, he suggested that we open up workshops. So for us as a council, staff went away and gave us a few options. We discussed it internally amongst councillors. There were differing views about how open they should be. The concern about having free and frank discussions, because look, workshops can get heated and they can be a free expression of views, let's say. And also, some personalities are not comfortable expressing those views in public because it's a fleshing out of ideas and a testing of ideas. So one of the cons I can see is those personalities that don't like to express their views, let's say more introverted, may not participate as much as they would. And you've got to cater for everyone in the room. So that's probably one of the cons, but obviously the Ombudsman's view was the pros outweighed the cons. So look, we've pretty much implemented what he suggested. We've gone to a level where councillors were all comfortable. So look, we'll see how it goes. We've got an open mind as a group of councillors to see, hey, can we push the boat out even further when it comes to opening up workshops? We're just taking it step by step at this stage.
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, you're being transparent, right? No one can say that you're not trying to get the information out to the public.
This is one of the ongoing battles we have as a council, is trying to access all communication channels and trying to get the message across. Look, there's always people that we miss with the different media that we use. But look, we do try, and they work very hard to communicate some of the messages we want to express. But again, it's one of those continual improvement areas. And look, openness and fairness and transparency, they're all good. It's just sometimes, you're a bit serious here, some of the councillors and some of the staff do get a bit of harassment from the public, and it is growing nationwide, and that's something we've got to be careful about and a bit mindful.
Absolutely. So what is your focus going to be for the next few months, Glenn?
Look, we're still working on the 10-year plan. If you watched the council meeting last week, we've extended the timeframe for, we've taken the option for an extra 3 months that was given to us by the Minister for Local Government. So we've taken that opportunity. Look, this 10-year plan, it is difficult. We talk about rates rises, we talk about three waters, we talk about the debt ceiling, and then on top of that, our growth. We're, as I said before, we're the fastest growing district. And if you look across all growth councils, we are experiencing a fair bit of growth pain through forward funding of infrastructure. And infrastructure spend, look, we're going to do it. Three waters, I think the initial estimate over 10 years is just under $1.2 billion. And that's just in capital. That's not including OPEX. So that's similar to actually what Wellington's come out with. And we've got a ratepayer base probably one quarter to one third of what Wellington is. So there's some big issues there, but yeah, trying to sort that 10-year plan out. Obviously, we're still doing the events and community funding will still be in the April, May period. So those community groups and events that look for council to supply funding to do the good stuff they do, that will still happen in the same time frame. So it gives a bit of certainty there. But those at LPP, she's a beast, and it's going to take a bit of work to get through that.
Well, I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy, but making the time to have a chat with me, and all the best, and I'm sure we're going to catch up again very soon, Glenn.
Thank you, Brent. No, it's really great to speak, and hopefully we can keep it going. Cheers.
On Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, The Outlet.
The talk of Queenstown.
Thanks for listening to The Outlet, your local interview podcast for Queenstown. Now, if you have a story or an interview you think should be featured on The Outlet podcast, please get in touch by using the contact button on your Queenstown app. The Outlet is produced and published by the Queenstown app and supported with funding from the New Zealand Public Interest Journalism Fund. All episodes of The Outlet are available on the podcast button on your Queenstown app and wherever you get your podcasts.